Visit Stephen Lavelle's website, LavelleWealthLegacy.com. That's LOVELL, WealthLegacy.com. Now, back to The Good Life Made Better on AM 1220 KDOW.
On The Good Life Made Better today, I've got with me attorney from Lafayette, California, Bruce Ramsey. And Bruce is helping you learn about the kind of entities you may choose if you're thinking about starting a business. Now, when people hear you on the air, Bruce, they're probably thinking, how do I get a hold of him? What are the ways they can reach you?
Our telephone number is 925-284-2800.
Have you got a website?
We do. It's RamseyLawGroup.com.
Ramsey with an unusual spelling.
R-A-M-S-E-Y.
Thank you. All right. So let's talk about partnerships. Again, that's a very common type of business form. Was it used more in the past than it is now?
I would say yes, it is. With a partnership, it's different from a sole proprietorship in which you now need to have at least two people involved to form a partnership.
Could a husband and wife be partners?
Yes, they could.
I guess they could be the best of enemies and the best of friends too, right?
Hopefully the best of friends.
I know. All right. So now, what tax form is a partnership going to use to file their returns?
It's generally considered what we call a pass-through entity. So the partnership itself is not taxed, but the taxes or the profits and losses flow through to the partners based on their ownership interest.
So when you say flow through, tell us what that means.
That means that the entity itself is not taxed, but that, again, the profits and losses flow through. They are accounted for by the owners of the, in this case, the partnership.
How would they determine how much went to each one of the partners?
It's generally based on the ownership interest. So if it's 50-50, then 50% would go to one person, 50% to the other.
And they would report that on a 1040?
Individual tax return? On their individual tax return. Right. That is correct, yeah.
Okay. Now, does the partnership itself send any tax returns into the government?
Yes, they do.
And that would be?
A K-1.
K-1. All right. And again, Bruce, you are not a CPA.
No.
So we would want this person or we would want you to talk to your tax person. But again, Bruce knows this stuff. He can help you with this.
Yeah, that's. We always recommend that you'd work with a tax planner, an accountant, the team of an attorney and an accountant, tax planner, make a good team to help the individual protect their assets, protect or reduce their tax liabilities as well.
All right. Now, what about, again, liability protection if you are a partner? Is it there or is it not?
It depends on the type of partnership. There are two types. There's a general partnership and there's a limited partnership. With a general partnership, that is two or more people getting together. You'd have a partnership agreement. There's no filing required at the state of California to form it, but each of the partners are individually liable on a joint and several basis for the partnership. With a general partnership also, any of the partners can obligate the company. So, for example, Stephen, if you and I formed a partnership, you could go out, enter into an agreement, not tell me about it. Let's say you decide to buy a copier and we don't make payments to the copier company. The copier company could go after me for the whole amount because I would be jointly and severally liable for the liabilities of the company.
Tell me what the term joint and several means.
It means that in terms of a, let's say, a creditor in this example, they could go after either one of us for any part or all of the liabilities of the partnership.
Could they ever get more than what was owed to them?
Well, they'd have to show damages and there may be interest, but no, they wouldn't be able to do that. So.
Is there any practical limit on how many partners there can be in a partnership?
Well, there's probably some practical limitation on that, at least with a general partnership. You'd want to be working with a smaller group of people and, you know, people that you know and trust because of the risk of their authority and the potential to create liability for you. The other type of partnership I'd like to talk about is a limited partnership. There you'd have what's known as a general partner. He or she is the person that is responsible for the operation, the day-to-day management of the partnership. And then the limited partners are like passive investors. They would be protected from the liabilities and the debts of the partnership. They have their investment at risk if the partnership doesn't succeed, but they wouldn't be liable for the debts and obligations of the partnership.
They could lose the money they put in, but not more than what they put in?
That is correct. All and right. So with a limited partnership, the general partner, the person, or it could be an entity as well, that is responsible for the management and operation of the partnership, they would be responsible for the debts and obligations of the partnership.
Now, I would assume that one of the reasons people would choose a partnership type of business, Bruce, is because they want to make sure that people come and go, but the business could still be there if someone passed away or left the business.
Well, that is a problem with a partnership. Let's say it's two partners, and one of them were to die. The partnership is effectively dissolved at that time because you need to have two partners. So that's a weakness with a partnership.
Is there a way around that, the business being dissolved when one partner dies?
Well, one way is to have multiple partners. So if mm-hmm. one dies, the partnership would be there. In that case, you'd want to have some provision, an agreement among the partners to indicate what's going to happen if a partner does die. How is that interest going to be valued and then bought out?
Would sometimes family businesses be partnered, like Smith and Sons, Jones and Sons, and then Jones dies or Smith dies and the Sons are left, and they could carry it on?
They could do it that way.
All right. And then when would something like a buy-sell agreement come into play with a partnership, Bruce?
With a partnership, you'd want a buy-sell agreement. Again, the situation where you have partners, you're dealing with a situation where one of the partners dies or becomes disabled, and how do you value that interest? And how do you pay for the interest? You'd want to, buy out that partner's interest.
All right. So the partner passes and the partner's interest in the business is worth something, but it's sometimes hard to determine. And furthermore, if the survivor wants to buy it, he needs the money. So that's why you form these buy-sell agreements?
That's correct. And again, we're dealing in a situation with a partnership where you have more than two partners. Again, if you only had two partners and one dies, then the partnership is dissolved. But there's the value of a buy-sell agreement is to set people's expectations. I mean, you don't want people to be arguing, after there is a death about the value or what's supposed to be happening. So after the business is formed, it's a good idea to sit down with the owners of the business and talk about the what ifs. What if one of the people becomes disabled? What if one of them were to become divorced? What if one of them were to die? How do we want to deal with that? And if we're buying the other interest, how do we value that? And how do we pay for it? What's the time frame?
Does your law firm help people design these kinds of agreements?
Yes, we do.
All right. Well, good to hear. Now, we've talked about sole proprietorships, and then we moved on to partnerships. And now let's go on to some kind of corporate form of ownership. What is the difference between a C-Corp and an S-Corp, Bruce?
One thing to keep in mind, there's a lot of confusion around this. They're both corporations. They both have shareholders, owners, directors. The difference is in how they're taxed. The S-Corporation, it's an election that the corporation makes by filing a form with the IRS, and its election to be a pass-through entity. Again, the corporation itself would not be taxed, but the profits and losses would flow through to the owners, the shareholders. With a C-Corporation, it is, and that's the basic corporation, it is a double taxation. The corporation is dealt as an entity itself, so it is taxed. And then when it flows through the profits, through dividends, to the owners, the shareholders, they too would be taxed.
What would be the corporate tax rate?
Well, that would be a good question for you, Steve.
All right, 34 or 35%, yeah. Okay. I mean, depending on the amount of money. Bruce is not a CPA. He is an attorney and a good attorney. And he defers on these matters because he doesn't want to go outside his own professional avenue, and I appreciate that. As a financial advisor, like Bruce said about what you hear, anything I say on the air, believe me, you don't want to act on it. You always want to consult with your own expert. We're talking to Bruce Ramsey, and we're talking about business formation. We'll be back with more on The Good Life Made Better in a moment.
If you have questions about today's topic, call Stephen Lavelle directly at 800-841-4225. That's 800-841-4225. Or contact him at LavelleWealthLegacy.com. That's LOVELL WealthLegacy.com.